Hey, the other day I gave a Bible to one of my coworkers, and I gave her this Bible, and as she was walking away, she shouted back over her shoulder, and she said, "So is this going to tell me how bad I am?" And I said, "No, it's going to tell you how to get away with it." Give me five. I'm usually not that quick-witted. But isn't it amazing what Jesus has done for us? Isn't it amazing what he's done for us? That our Creator came down to earth and became like us and then died on the cross to take away all our sins. Isn't it astounding? And how much hard work it must be to convince yourself that you're not guilty. That you don't have any sin and you're not guilty. Yeah, I'm a good guy just like everybody else. Guilt is an erroneous zone. Guilt's a false emotion. I'm not going to give in to guilt. And you'd have to work at it all the time until your conscience becomes numb and dead. How much sweeter to just come to Jesus and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm amazed at you. I'm astounded at you, Lord, that you would die on the cross for my sins. Thank you for taking away all my sins. Thank you that you bore my guilt and my shame. Amen." Isn't that sweet? Doesn't that feel good? We are so blessed. Are you amazed at Jesus today? I know you are. But, you know, even though we are amazed and astounded at Jesus, still, hardness of heart can creep in. Hardness of heart can creep into the believer. We're going to read Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 11. There we go. And this is from the New American Standard Version. I'll read and you follow along. "The Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, 'Why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation.' Leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. And they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, 'Watch out! Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' They began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up?' They said to him, 12. When I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up?' And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, 'Do you not yet understand?'" So let's just make a few observations from the passage, first of all. Number one, we see that hardness of heart can happen to anyone. That sincerity does not make you immune from hardness of heart. We understand why the Pharisees were hard of heart. You don't have to read the Gospels for very long, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to realize that Jesus was accusing the Pharisees of being hypocrites and not wanting to receive God's word and not wanting to listen. But these are the disciples. These are the good guys, like you and me, you know. These were the good guys, obedient, full of faith, followers of Jesus. And Jesus warns them, "Are you becoming hard of heart?" So number one, hardness of heart can happen to anybody. Sincerity doesn't make you immune. Now that's depressing. It's going to get better. But it's going to get worse first. Because point number two is this. Hardness of heart can happen to anyone at any time. That's the second thing we observe. It can happen to anyone at any time, because here they were, the disciples were right in the midst of the revival caused by Jesus the Messiah, who had come to his people, the Jews. Right in the midst of that. They were surrounded by miracles, signs, and wonders. He had just fed 5,000 men plus women and children in the desert, followed by 4,000 men plus women and children in the desert. It was just like Moses leading the children of Israel through the desert to the promised land, and they received miraculous bread from heaven called manna, and Jesus duplicated that feat, and wonderful things were happening, and right in the midst of that, Jesus warns them that they're becoming hardened in their heart. Oh boy. So it can happen to anybody, and it can happen at any time. And then number three, we observe that hardness of heart is asymptomatic. It's like high blood pressure. You don't know you've got it. There's no symptoms. The only way you can find out if you've got high blood pressure is if you use a blood pressure monitor or go to the doctor and some other person or device tells you that you have high blood pressure. And in the same way, you don't know that you have hardness of heart unless there is someone outside your heart who tells you that you have hardness of heart. Because Jesus said, hardness of heart is like this, having eyes, but you don't see, and having ears, but you don't hear. So you think you're seeing, but you don't, and you think you're hearing, but you don't. It's asymptomatic. You don't know you've got it. You have to be listening to the Lord, and he can tell you that you've got it. Otherwise, you don't know. So it can happen to anybody. It can happen at any time. And there's no symptoms. Now, probably at this point, you want me to give a definition of hardness of heart. But I can't do that. And it wouldn't be good anyway. Because if I gave you four things to look out for, you know, then you'd be able to check those off. And you'd think you're fine. I go to church. I tithe. I read the Bible. I do what Barry tells me. You know, all those important things. And then you'd have the checklist, but you could still be hard of heart. It's asymptomatic. It's not like gout. You know if you've got gout. Gout hurts, right? But, so there's no definition. It varies from situation to situation. In fact, not only does it not hurt, it can actually feel good. We know why the Pharisees felt good about it, because they were hypocrites and they had a system to make themselves feel good. They had all these rules that they made up. And because the rules were their rules, even though they were tough rules, they were able to keep them because they kind of owned the rules. But other people weren't so interested in the rules and didn't keep the rules, and so the Pharisees felt superior. And superior is a good feeling, right? Jesus said, you make broad your phylacteries, some kind of sash that goes around the robe. Who doesn't like to dress up? Dressing up feels good, right? What else? Oh, they had greetings in the marketplace. And they had the best seats at the banquets. And so all these things felt good. And if they were going to listen to the word of God, then they would have had to be convicted of their sin and their wrongdoing. Jesus said, you rob widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. So they would have to have been convicted of their sin, change and repent, and that might not feel good. So they stayed hard of heart, didn't want to listen to the word of God. But what about the disciples? Now, there's a strange one. I wonder what was going on with the disciples that they had grown hard of heart. I think I might understand the disciples a little bit. And maybe, just maybe, because this is just what I think from my experience, could be anything. Maybe it was cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance. There was so many supernatural things happening. Miracles and food in the desert and all these wonderful teachings of Jesus that had to be interpreted spiritually. Maybe their brains just couldn't process it anymore. Maybe it was too much. And they were just longing for something that they could solve the normal way. Something that they could do in their own strength. Oh, hey, bread. Okay, bread, we got this one. We can figure this out. We're going to get organized. Who's going to be in charge of bread? And Jesus said, why are you discussing bread? Maybe they just wanted to do something in their own strength. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he sent the disciples to the other side. And they were rowing across the lake. He could see them. They were straining against the oars because the wind was contrary. And after Jesus finished praying and saying goodbye to the people and praying, he came to them walking on the water. And it says in Mark chapter 6 that he intended to pass them by. He was intending to just walk right past them. And this is what I think, and I could be wrong. I think Jesus knew they just needed something to do in their own strength. He's thinking, those guys need a good row. They need to fight this wind and get to the other side and just, you know, do something that isn't supernatural. Could be, right? But in any case, he's going to walk past them and they think he's a ghost and they're frightened and they cry out. Now, when we cry out to God from our hearts, it always gets God's attention because he's a father and he's compassionate and he cares about our hearts. So though he was intending to walk by, he stopped and he comforted them and he got in the boat and the wind died down and that was that. So maybe it was just cognitive dissonance. Has anyone ever experienced cognitive dissonance? Did anyone here experience the Toronto blessing and the renewal? Put your hand up. Okay. Yeah, 6 people did. The rest of you have blocked it out of your mind because of cognitive dissonance, right? I understand. We were the first church in Cranbrook to get into the renewal, the Toronto blessing. And we sent some folks down there, and they came back, and they reported, and then all of a sudden, all of these strange things started happening in our church. And at first, it was really exciting, of course, because strange and wonderful things were happening, and we were able to, you know, find a reason for it, find an interpretation, or at least accept it. But after a while, it just kept on being strange, and a blessing at the same time. The 19th century revivalist and a great theologian, Jonathan Edwards, he said that when Solomon's ships came from afar bearing treasure, they didn't just bring gold and frankincense. They also brought apes and peacocks. This is where you laugh. They also brought apes and peacocks. We had our share of apes and peacocks. And I'll confess, there were certain times when I think to myself, you know what? A little bit of normal would feel really good right now. Cognitive dissonance, you know, you just have that longing to get back to normal. That could be why. In any case, it can happen to anybody. It can happen at any time. And there's no symptoms. You have to be talking to Jesus, and he'll tell you about it. And it's different things at different times. Hebrews chapter 5, they couldn't receive teaching about Jesus anymore. They couldn't go on in learning about Jesus. They were just happy where they were, didn't want to progress in the faith. Hardness of heart. Revelation chapter 3, you've lost your first love, or you've become lukewarm. See, it can be different things at different times, and so it has to be the Lord that speaks to you about hardness of heart. We all good? Okay. So recently, for me, hardness of heart was simply not believing for answers to prayer, not believing for miracles. I'll share my experience with you. Since I came to Courtney 3.5 years ago, and since then the doctor's been keeping track of this certain blood test that's kind of a vague but an indicator of a certain type of cancer, right? He's been keeping track of the numbers. First he said, well, we'll just do it and we'll have a benchmark and we'll see what, you know, if there's any problem there. Because I'm over 65, so should watch out for these things, that's fair. So I've been getting this blood test about every 6 months. On May the 16th, I went for the blood test, and the very next day the doctor's office calls up, Mr. Campbell, the doctor needs to see you. Let's set an appointment. Can you come this day? And I think, well, that's not very encouraging. I get the blood test, and the very next day, the doctor's office called. And so I started doing some research online. And I looked up the operation that's the ultimate cure for this type of cancer. Turns out it only leaves 18% of its victims permanently maimed for the rest of their lives. Well, those aren't bad odds, are they? That's not bad odds. But I'd been reading Mark chapter 8, and the Lord convicted me of just looking to the natural, not the supernatural. Why aren't you believing for healing? So as I was praying about this, I felt the Lord tell me that I should pray for myself 80 times. 80 times. Now, that's not some kind of formula. It's maybe a measure of how hard of heart I was that I had to pray for myself 80 times. But so I did that. I started off with real enthusiasm. I did 15 times the first day and then 10 the next and then 10 the next. And then the next day was a little harder. It was 5. And thought, I'm going to lose track of how many times I've prayed for myself. So I made an Excel spreadsheet, right? And I prayed for myself 80 times and plus a few more for good measure. Can't hurt. And then the day before my doctor's appointment, I had another permission slip to get this blood test, and I wasn't supposed to do this, but I went for the blood test again. And then waited for the doctor's appointment. Now this is where positive speech comes in, okay? Like, I believe that healing comes when we hear and then obey. So if you hear the Lord's voice and obey it, that's where healing comes in. Some people, I think, have been taught, maybe the teachers weren't intending to teach it, but they heard them say that simply through positive speech you can get healed. You know, I don't need my glasses anymore. I can see. I can see fine. I'm healed. I can see. I don't need my glasses. And then you walk into a door, a closed door, right? True story, by the way. Not me, but somebody else I knew. And then they give up on positive speech altogether, right? But I think it's like this. You hear and obey, and then positive speech helps you not to fall into doubt. When Peter walked on the water, he said, Lord, if that's you, command me to come to you on the water. And so he stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water because he knew he was obeying the command of the Lord. But then, looking around at the waves and the sea and the wind, he fell into fear, which is doubt, and he started to sink. So positive speech can help you to not fall into doubt and fear. So I've quit praying for myself. I got the blood test, and then I start to fall into fear. It's just going to be normal like before. It's going to be bad. And then I'd say, no, it's going to be good. The doctor's going to be amazed. And when I would say that, the doubts would go away. So I kept saying that to myself and went into the doctor's office full of faith. And sure enough, he showed me my numbers since I came to Courtney. Started off at 5.5. On May the 16th, it was up to 7.9. That's quite an increase. But the test just before I came back to the doctor's was right back down to 5.5. And I said, woohoo! And he says, well, you know, this often happens. He's playing it cool. I said, no, you don't understand. I was praying for myself. And the Lord's brought those numbers down. And he gave me kind of a knowing grin. But then he did some other tests and examinations, and before I left, he said, well, next time you can pray about this. So maybe he heard me a little bit. I don't know. But I felt that I hadn't answered a prayer. I'm not saying I was healed, because I don't know if I was sick. But I do feel I won a victory over hardness of heart. My particular kind, at a particular time that I wouldn't have known about, hadn't the Lord not spoken to me, right? So you got to be reading the Bible. Reading the Bible is the major way that we hear the voice of the Lord. And if you're not reading the Bible, you don't know if you're hard of heart, because you got to hear the voice of the Lord to know if you're hard of heart in some areas. And the Lord cares about our heart. That's what he cares about. He cares about our heart. You know, today's Father's Day, right? Psalm 103 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Peter says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Isaiah, the Lord dwells in a high and lofty place, and with those who are humble and contrite of heart. When you can make a heart connection with the Father, that's when you get answers to prayer, because he cares about your heart. And I was praying, Lord, I don't want to be hard of heart. And he helped me. He loves us so much. I think effective prayer is to simply answer those two questions that Jesus asked Mary in the garden. And he'd risen from the dead, and she didn't recognize him yet. And he said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And whom are you seeking? If you can answer those two questions. What's in your heart? And how does that relate to getting closer to me? God can't resist those prayers. Because God is love. He's taken away all our sins. But he wants to be close to our heart. Amen? So, and we can pray about anything. We can ask about anything. As long as we ask with thankfulness. And the Lord loves to answer us and bless us and give us joy and give us answers to prayer. A few years ago, we went down to Mexico because our teenage grandchildren were building a house for a missions project with Young Life. And we went along to be there and watch them and help out and have a holiday. And somewhere along the way, my cell phone was stolen and Diane's wedding rings were stolen. Now, I didn't notice that my cell phone was stolen because I wasn't using it for fear of roaming charges, right? And Diane didn't have her wedding rings on her hand because sometimes her hand swells up and she takes them off and puts them in her makeup kit. And couldn't find them, started thinking, well, maybe they're in the luggage somewhere else or at home, whatever she was thinking. It wasn't until we got home that we realized that my cell phone was stolen, her wedding rings were stolen. She looked through her luggage, she looked through the cupboard beside her sink in the master bath. She had a sink and this cupboard that she kept stuff in. That's usually where she would put her rings if she wasn't wearing them. She looked through the cupboard top to bottom, weren't there. Looked through the luggage, couldn't find them. But at the time, we were listening to podcasts from Bethel Church. And there's a well-known speaker on the prophetic, Bob Jones, who told this story about how he had lost a knife that was important to him. Somebody significant had given him this knife. And sitting in the hotel room, he said to the Lord, "Lord, I want my knife back." And it materialized in the air and fell on the bed. So the people at Bethel Church are all excited about this, and they're praying to get things back. And it's working for them, right? So we've been listening to this, and Diane figures she'll try that. "Lord, I want my rings back." And she'd look through the luggage, and she'd look through the cupboard, and they wouldn't be there. And she'd try it the next day. "Lord, I want my rings back." And she'd look through the luggage and look through the cupboard, and it just wouldn't be there. So finally, she said to God, "Well, I guess you just do that for people you love." My pretty little wife. She'll even try to manipulate God. But, give her this. She expressed her heart to the Lord. And shortly after that, she had occasion to look in the cupboard. Guess what? Right there on the lower shelf, right in the middle, right out front, her wedding rings. Because they were important to her heart. So, I think that we need to ask the Lord that we can get back to seeing answers of prayer. Do you remember when you first became a Christian and you thought prayer could solve everything? Like a little child? We need to get back there. Or when you know, if you're raised in the church and you remember getting excited about the Lord and getting baptized and touched by God and you thought that prayer could solve everything, we need to get back to that place with just a childlike faith. And so, positive speech can help us get there. I think that we should do this. Look at the next scripture. Here we go. This is Psalm 4:3. It says, "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man from self. The Lord hears when I call to him." So we're going to stand and we're going to say that together. Everybody stand up. Okay, let's say it together. "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him." Now, when you say it, you got to put the emphasis on the I. See? Because Jesus died for you, right? He gave himself up for you. Paul talks of Jesus as "he who loved me and gave himself up for me." You are that godly person that the Lord hears. You are. So put the emphasis on the I. Let's just say the second part together again. The Lord hears when I call to him. The Lord hears when I call to him. Say it some more. The Lord hears when I call to him. You get the idea. Thanks. You can be seated. What I'd like to suggest, and if this makes a faith connection in your heart, then do it. Otherwise, don't bother. But if it makes a faith connection in your heart, say that over and over again until a softness comes into your heart and the Lord speaks to you about what you should pray for, and you pray for it and you get it. We live a supernatural life. We live a life of miracles. Right? Amen. It's not that we don't have trouble. In this world you shall have trouble. But be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that each one of us is that godly man or woman that you gave yourself for on the cross. And you hear our prayers. And you want us to pray from our heart to you. You want us to get answers to prayer. You're honored when we get answers to prayer and miracles. So, Lord, bless this people today. Lord, bless this congregation and myself. Lift our faith, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, about any area in which our heart has become discouraged or hardened or cynical or not expectant or not having its first love or not wanting to learn more about you and find deeper teaching, Lord, to be lukewarm, to be content with the things of the world instead of the things that please you, Lord. We pray that you would soften our hearts and that you'd help us, Lord, that you'd help us. Raise our faith level today, we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen.